Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Ione McNeil. I am sitting in for Ann McNeil today, and this is hashtag I am Riviera Beach. We have Dan Calloway with us as our co-host, and right when we get into the show, we will be featuring our special guest today, which is attorney Richard Rouse, who is the founder of the Rouse Firm. Energetic, hopeful, focused, these are three words often used to describe attorney Richard A. Rouse, who has won more than $200 million on behalf of his clients over his nearly 30-year career, acting as a fierce advocate for the disenfranchised, the abused, and the mistreated. Smart, hardworking, and tenacious are three other terms applied to attorney Rouse, but perhaps the most fitting of all, fearless. That's because from the time he was growing up in a single-parent household in West Palm Beach, Florida, attorney Rouse has been unafraid to make it happen. That career has seen him make history. Indeed, shortly after opening in 1996, his personal injury, wrongful death, focused law office, the Rouse Firm, attorney Rouse successfully negotiated a $2.35 million wrongful death settlement against the Albertsons Corporation. Attorney Rouse went on to win a $3.3 million wrongful death verdict against Rhode Island-based Discern Development and later a $2.5 million punitive damage settlement against New York-based GSI Incorporated. Other historical notable cases include his representation in Riviera Beach as a resident, Robbie Morton, a survivor of the 1923 Rosewood Massacre, in her quest to obtain some of the $2.1 million awarded by the state of Florida. Welcome, Attorney Rouse. How are you?
I'm doing well this afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you, Peony. That was beautiful. Well, Attorney Rouse, I may say that every now and then, but most of the time I'm going to say Richard. It is a pleasure to be, since I've been on this program from the initiative, because Ann McNeil, the brilliant one, the brilliant developer, construction owner, and everything, and also was born and reared in Riviera. She thought of this idea about this program, and we've been featuring numerous people to get the information out, and there's nobody more important right now that we need on here to answer a few questions from some of the things the citizens of Riviera especially want to know about in Palm Beach County. With all the experience that you have, and I've known you all your life, the number one thing you said in a meeting with a bunch of ministers two or three days ago, that we are trying to put together something where the ministers are trying, will be taking over their rightful place and going up and down to and fro in the community rather than to spend all their time in a church standing behind on that podium. You said that you, in the last year, have been appointed over the, what is it, the Black Caucus as the chair. Explain
yes, sir.
That. Tell the listening audience about that, number one, right now.
Well, thank you, Mr. Calloway, for having me here today. The Black Caucus was formed, quite frankly, out of a frustration with the progress that the Democratic Party has had when dealing with issues relative to black people. And so I saw a drop-off in participation by our community, especially by young African-Americans, who are registering because they are dissatisfied with the Democratic Party is no party affiliation. And so we formed the Black Caucus in order to create a big tent. We're not leaving anyone behind. And we are going to hold not only the Democratic Party accountable, but the people in office accountable, because I think we can agree that we have not received the kind of representation that we need in these perilous times when our vote, our communities are under siege by the Republicans, our very survival. I liken the time that we find ourselves now to a new Jim Crow 2.0. And if you know your history in that time, you know, we can't go backwards. You know, nobody's going to save us, and so we got to save ourselves.
That is beautiful. The thing that I'm impressed, most of all, the group, I don't know how many, but they have got to be smart because they voted you in as the chair. I know your resume as well as anybody. And if I had to pick one individual to go lead us in this new millennium, especially with the waning of the pandemic and now with the living, the cost of living is so expensive because everything has gone up because of the pandemic, I would think. And now the gas prices, the food prices, and so many people are going to be homeless and hungry. And we got to have some kind of leadership from the government. And I think that we are so behind, especially in Palm Beach County. And I live in a town that took the mantle over 50 years ago. And the way we fought to get where we were, to lose where we are now, it is embarrassing. So with you in charge, I know there's a beacon of light at the end of the tunnel. And I can go out there and tell senior citizens, young students, there is hope, and we can reach that. Now, explain to the listening audience that the number one thing we need to do as a group.
Well, I think that the most important thing that we can do is organize, and we have to stop being so apathetic. The neighborhood, I live in the Westward, and at one point in time, the Westward was the highest black voting precinct in Palm Beach County. We voted at 70%. Over the last 4 to 5 election cycles, we're voting at about 20%. And I fully understand why so many people aren't voting. And it has more to do with who we vote into office than the act of voting. But the Republicans are smart enough to know that they can double up, they can make that apathy a permanent reality by changing the voting laws. And so they've changed the laws to make it more difficult to, in some instances, unwittingly, people may be voting illegally, especially if they're using their absentee or their early voting rights. The law has changed, and so the Black Caucus is vigilantly going to all of the churches in the community. We're going to sit down with the supervisor of elections, and we're going to create a easy guide that we can pass out in the community that so no one has to have a fear that their vote might end up putting them in legal jeopardy. Our governor created a voting police force, and I say that really what he created was a state subsidized Klan to go out and intimidate people to not vote. Because Republicans are the minority in this state, and if Democrats voted representative of their numbers, they shouldn't have the House, the Senate, or the governor's mansion, but because of apathy and because of new voting laws, they are writing us out of our right to vote. And if we aren't careful, we won't have a right to vote. And so those are the kinds of things that we're working on at the Black Caucus in order to protect our right to vote and to educate everyone on who is the best person for the job in the respective seats that are open for election.
Well, that's wonderful, but will the Black Caucus be emphasizing to the highest rank of getting the right individuals to be in these positions as a Congress rep, state rep, the county commission, the mayor of each city, and the and council of all these towns? Now,
well, that's one of our primary jobs is that we're going to be screening the candidates, and a lot of times their candidates just aren't qualified, and in those instances, we're going to advise everyone that we just don't feel comfortable endorsing any of the candidates in a race. But absent that, once people are in office, we're going to be looking for some deliverables. We're going to be wanting to see, did you do what you said you were going to do? We have a congressman right now who promised $1,000 to everybody. We knew before the election that couldn't happen. And so she's going to have to explain, because she's running again now, she's going to have to explain how she made that promise, why she made that promise, and why we didn't get our $1,000. You know, it's those kinds of tricks, I think, that put us in a bad place from the standpoint that people who already were apprehensive about voting, they look at the fact that there was a promise made of $1,000 and that promise didn't come to reality, and they then have a ready-made excuse why they're not going to vote in the next election. And I think it does way more harm to make those kind of false promises than to run on your record, run on your ideas, and do it the right way. It takes a little bit more work, but it's the right way. And our people need you to be up and honest with them. And so the Black Caucus is going to hold them accountable.
Well, everybody, you know, when I heard that, and I was out in Belgrade, because we went out there to make sure Virginia Baker, the county administrator, asked us to go out and talk to the residents to take the shot. It was about feeding them and getting them out there in Belgrade. The people came from South Bay and Pahokee, and we were telling them the importance of the vaccine for the virus. That's why we were out there, and of course she was out there, and other people took advantage of the big crowd we had put together. Because food bring them and music keep them, and you can sometimes entertain them with some of the things you need to tell them. But I need to ask the question. You're saying we're going to screen different people to run in different positions. I think it's great. I think that's what you should do. And just everybody running and getting their little filing fee and got their own agenda. And 9 out of 10, they don't know half of the things that they need to be going and to make a difference. I need to, for you to tell the listening audience, you one of the top candidates for any job in Palm Beach County or the state of Florida. Everybody know that. All on the street, you know, and the ministers and everybody's talking about why is he in charge of this when we need him to be running for something. Because when you were elected official in West Palm Beach, you got a lot of things going. And you told me 2 or 3 years ago you were going to leave the city and run for the county commission, and I thought that was great. Because we don't have the type of leadership at the county commission that you would be able to bring. But now, you in position to run for anything, as even if you elected in the position that you are right now over the Black Caucus?
Yes. Yes. And the current commissioner in the county, his term isn't up until 24, so we're looking at every seat that we might be able to fit in to best serve our community. We haven't ruled that out. But right now we're running the Black Caucus, and we're trying to make sure that we build a framework that even if I do decide to run for an office, it can carry on and continue to do the work necessary for us to utilize our vote for the betterment of our community and for the power of our community. Mr. Calloway, I can tell you this. When I sat on the City of West Palm Beach Commission, there was one community that when they spoke, it's like E.F. Hutton. Remember that commercial? When E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. Well, the IBIS community is that community in the City of West Palm Beach. When they speak, when they summon city commissioners and county commissioners and the mayor, run out there to hear what they have to say. And that's because they voted 75% every election. Mm-hmm. You can count the votes. There are going to be 1,700 votes cast in IBIS every election. And they pride themselves on that. And they let every commissioner know that. And they act almost like Hollywood gangsters with that information. that if you don't do what they ask you to do, our 1,700 votes, we know how to use them. And yep. So I'm trying to build the Black community to have that same type of cohesion, that same type of strength, because with our numbers and with our unity, there's nothing we can't do. There are three Black precincts right now that if they voted above 30% equal what IBIS has, but we got to get them up above 30%. And the last thing, I don't want to belabor the point, the last thing is, you know, the Haitian Revolution was started by a Jamaican-born Haitian. The people who were the warriors in the Haitian Revolution all were new to Haiti. They had just been brought in as captives from Africa, and some of them were Igbo, and some of them were Yoruba, and some of them were Bantu. They were of different tribes, no different than we have here in this community. But the one thing that they understood was together they were stronger than the largest militaries in the world. They defeated Napoleon. They defeated the British, who they say the sun didn't set on the British Empire. They defeated the British. They defeated the French, and they defeated the Spanish. They did that by being together and by being unified and by understanding that together they were stronger. That's what the Black mm-hmm. Caucus is about, and that's what we're trying to do.
And that's what Riviera, in the late 60s when we elected Malcolm Cunningham Sr., he was the first Black in 67. And in 1972, we went from one, which he resigned to be the attorney for the city, and we got Bob Moultrie, Bobby Brooks, James Jones, and Henry Taylor. We went from four to, we got away from one to got to be four. And from 1972 to right now, we have never lost the power of the vote for the minority or the Black, only one time. Now, what they do with the power, that's another story. But I'm only telling you that's the way to go. If you're going to get something, reverse it and do your job. You mentioned something about being honest to the people. That's the problem. Now, what game plan, you can tell our listening audience, because you made some tremendous statements at the ministerial group the other day, and I'm just glad that only myself and two or three other is not ministers. We need a balance, and we definitely need that legal mind and that brilliant ability to lead people in this day and time, because before it gets better, it's going to get worse because the economy, and who knows whether we have to get into a world war with Russia, which you never want to do that. But if we are on the fringe of that, you never know. So with the pandemic and with the food prices and the no place to live, the rent, it's a mess right now. We shouldn't be in this. I think that came from bad planning. So we have to take care of home before we go abroad. Everything started home. See, I have to worry about Riviera and then the county. Riviera and then West Palm and then the county. I'm like that. What is your idea of getting all the cities? Just take the, start with the county. See, if we're talking about getting more mobility and more leadership into the county commission, how do we start now? Do we start piece by piece, city by city, block by block, and start working on that now and start teaching the masses that if we're going to get a lot of things for the county, we need some people that look like us, or think like us, and start working on them now?
Mr. Callaway, I think that the most important thing is we have to do what we say we're going to do. Dusty Baker, my godfather, told me one time, he says, mean what you say and do what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what has to happen. We can't have people making false promises that they can't keep. We can't. People really have no trust that their vote is going to make a change. And so what I'm trying to do is put people in place who will be accountable to the citizens for those very basic things that you just identified. They can tell them where to go get a job. They can tell them what services are available if they need some food or if they need some shelter. They can tell them who's leasing. You know, we have been duped by the money developers, and when they say that they're going to build some affordable housing, most of us don't really even know what that word means. You know, you think it means for working class people that they'll be able to get some housing in a certain area, but that's a term of art. That's a legal term, and what it's tied to is the median income of a certain community. Well, here in Palm Beach County, our median income is skewed because you have Palm Beach sitting over there where the average income of the people who in those homes is $50 million. Well,
mm-hmm.
if that throws the median income, an affordable house might be $300,000.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows what I think that the median house price in Palm Beach County right now is $450,000. The average person cannot afford, the average working class black person cannot afford a $450,000 mortgage. I don't care if they put it for 70 years. It's just too much. Now, most folks don't want to hear that low-income housing, they always in their mind think Section 8 or people who just aren't working. Well, low-income housing is more tailored towards the working class people, people making between $30,000 and $75,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
We have to not allow our politicians and our business leaders to use these kind of word tricks and get what they want. And then they displace us from our very own communities. It's happening every day. They are gentrifying
mm-hmm.
Riviera Beach as we speak. Homes over on 4th and G where my granddaddy stayed
mm-hmm.
near the firehouse, those homes are upwards of 150 and going and rising. They'll be $300,000 before we know it. And so the people that are living there now, they're not going to be able to afford the property taxes. They'll be displaced, and another group of folks who don't look like me and you will have that community because it is so close to the intercoastal. It is prime property, and trust me, they're not going to continue to allow us to live there if we aren't vigilant about protecting our communities.
And that need to be repeated over and over to the masses. Now, that's my next question to you. What are some of the ways you suggest individuals, just say you're talking to me, which I represent a lot of people who've been, came up through the Youth Recreation Association in the last 50, that's going on the 59th year already. And you one of them yourself. And it's a lot of my, they, and they still, we still in contact with them. And they ask questions, a lot of the questions they ask, I don't know the answer. I'm 84 years of age, you know. What are some of the suggestions you think that when I'm out in Belgrade with Kenneth Funderburk and Robert Walker and all the people and King, who's the recreation director in South Bay, and I'm out there with the group in Pahokee, the recreation park, and help setting up different programs, what am I to tell them how we should keep our property, help build it up, and not let people come and move us out, because once we get out, we can't go get any property, what we already have, and be able to go in and be the conduit to express all this to different people who are looking for us to say something.
Well, we have to organize, Mr. Calloway, and we got to take an interest in our government. That requires, you may not necessarily, I know folks when they go to work all day, they don't want to go sit through no 6-7 hour meeting like they have in Riviera Beach. Yeah. But they can sit in the comfort of their home and they can watch that meeting on the computer, on their television, and they can keep abreast of what's going on in their city government. And when they start seeing And the Black Caucus is going to be a repository of information relative to the cities within Palm Beach County. But when they start seeing some things that they don't like, when they see city commissioners conducting themselves inappropriately and all they do is bicker and not get anything accomplished, or they're giving the city away with a bow on it, at that point they have to have enough energy to get up and go down there and tell the elected folks that, no, you're not going to give away our city. But our primary problem is that we need more venues like what you're providing today. We don't have a black newspaper. We really don't have a radio outlet that is broadcasting the news we need in order for our survival. You know, without communication, it's very difficult for our people to get the word. And so we're going to be, the Black Caucus is earnestly moving forward to put together a repository, a media platform that will keep us abreast of what's going on in the various municipalities throughout the county so that we can mobilize our people when necessary, if it's necessary to go down and stop a developer from taking over a certain segment of the black community. You know, it's funny. One of my classmates lived over there in this new area where they want to put what's going to be similar to what they have down there in Miami called Windward, right there under the 15th Street, the 12th Street Bridge, Palm Beach Lakes. They have bought all the homes from black people under the bridge going south. On the west side of Dixie, okay? One of my middle school classmates was the last holdout. Her mother bought that house for $25,000. And because she was the last holdout, she sold her house for $1 million.
Beautiful.
$1 million. But just think, we won't ever be in that community ever again.
Nope.
And so the same way it could happen right there on off of Dixie and 12th Street in West Palm Beach, it can happen right next to the firehouse. It could happen right next to Wells. It can happen right next to Dan Calloway Tate. And so we have to protect our own and the community. People need to start knowing their neighbors. That's one of the things I'm doing here in the Westwood. We're trying to put together a phone and email bank so that we all know one another. It will reduce crime and it will prevent the outside forces from coming and taking over. Somebody said to me the other week, let me finish this. Somebody said to me the other week, they knew that there were designs to take over the Tamarind area when they started seeing bike lanes down the middle of Tamarind. They don't put bike lanes in the hood unless they got some other plans, but there are bike lanes on Tamarind now. So there are somebody thinking about the future.
Well, you said three or four things, and all of them just tremendous. And I thought while you were letting the listening audience know all this information, some of the things, what you said in Thursday or Friday, whatever day we were over there at St. James Baptist Church with all those ministers. Now, last month when I was there, because I was talking to about putting this together over a year ago, and we finally got it off the ground. I think that what I got to do and what I got to tell other individuals and some of the ministers, especially Dr. Drayton and Pastor Brazil and different other people that I deal with every day, we got to put more of an emphasis on using. I asked, what were your opinion, how we can get this information? And you said they can take time and look at Channel 20 and Channel 18, and which I know they all not going to do all that. I think that we got to motivate the churches, because one thing I do know, more people will go and get the information through the ministerial alliance or the church or the pastor on Sunday than anywhere in the black community. Now, if we're going to say with that, we need to get the churches to be our conduit to go out and deliver the message that you were talking about and not just do it one. You got to be repetitive. It's just like any kind of sport. You do it over and over. The only way you get good is to keep doing it. And that's what you're saying. Be taught and then go out and teach what you know. And that's the spirit of the village. That's what we got to go back to. Because I was going to ask you, do you think, in which I'm in position still, to talk to Artie and the board of directors and Derek McCray and use my little influence to say the youth recreation is going to go to Goodmark Park, which we usually do, at on the 18th of December. We paid over $3,000. Got some of the guys was running and the commissioner, the Troderick McCoy, the Doug Lawson and the different ones to go up and just have a cookout and give the kids something for Christmas and give the families, because they're having a tough, and we have about 1,500 families. We try to give food every other month. We got a team of fishers. You help sponsor feeding people fresh fish. What we can do when we do that, we can give them some information, what they need to give back. Some of the things that you want to do from your caucus, and just say five or six things. You need to do this. You need to be cognizant of what your elected officials are saying, and you got to be mindful of who you should vote for, and if you don't know who you should call. I think that too many people giving too much information to who to vote for, when to vote, rather than have a trusted organization that you vote. Now, what is your answer to that?
Well, the Black Caucus has a website. It's pbcblackcaucus.com. We have a social media page, both Instagram and Facebook. And it's PBC Black Caucus on both. And we speak on the issues that are coming towards us. We try to be ahead of the curve. You know, we're going to be electing some judges come August, and there are a couple of choices. One of the judges, you know, I'll just forewarn you, one of the judges put a young black kid in jail because he happened to show up late for jury service. And he's been one of these kind of judges since he's been on the bench. But I can tell you most of the big, large white law firms are supporting this man, when he has not shown himself to be a friend to the black community. And so, yes, we do need organizations that will speak truth to power and independently without regard to political influences. And that's hopefully what the Black Caucus will remain while I'm president and even after I step down in the future. So, you know, the Black Caucus is one place. But we have a NAACP, operational NAACP in Palm Beach County now. Folks need to join. People need to be active. You can't sit home and complain when things are bad because you didn't help before they got bad. The more people run in the same direction, the quicker we'll get there. But if we are just sitting home on our hands and woe is me and everything is horrible and, you know, ain't nothing I can do, we'll get what we put into it. And I learned that from you. If you don't put the time in, you can't expect to be a starter. You know?
Yeah. You got it.
You taught me that when I was 6 years old. So, You get out of it what you put into it, and we need folks to put into it for their children.
That is
not
true.
Necessarily for them, for their children. If they don't care about themselves, we're trying to make this a better place for their children and their grandchildren. And so it requires
and we owe them.
You might, right.
We
it,
owe
it requires you
to
do something
to do that.
After work. Right.
Before we only have a minute or two left on our program. I need to ask one more question. And we're going to have a big banquet, and you will be there. We have 400, we're honoring six individuals, and guys are coming from everywhere. It's homecoming for Riviera. And in the interim of the week, they're going to be up and down in different neighborhoods. A lot of all these guys you know of, some of them you went to school with and grew up around, they're mostly athletes. But I think that's, and of course I got them on different golf courses, so they fly in, they put themselves in the hotel, and of course they do all that on their own. And of course Otis Anderson always come back, but we haven't been able to run the golf tournament that he been contributing for the last 15 years, a lot of money for scholarships. I want to ask you one question, the last on the show, because I know a lot of people call in during the week and saying this, that, and the other and asking questions, and I want to be prepared. The Recreation Association, along with MAMA, Mothers Against Murders Association, should put together, whether we at Gaines Park, whether we at Coleman Park, whether we at the Callaway Complex, the Wells Complex, Goodmark Park, Cunningham Park, where the neighborhood and thousands of people come for 5 to 6 or 7 hours, eating with tables to pass out literature and people asking questions, that's when you get more answers. See, a lot of law enforcement people don't understand that. You try to tell them they got to go be people friendly to get some information from the public. See, that's why we don't solve a lot of crime, because we don't know how to go deal with people on an ordinary situation. Only time you see most law enforcement person when somebody's committed a crime. Now, you need to be out there. 90% of your job is community relation. If you ever learn how to do that, people will give you all kind of information, because I haven't been in law enforcement over 25 years. I retired. And I'm still getting phone calls telling me where the hot spots and this, that, and the other. But, you see, I need this from you when you talk to the caucus. I would love to put together something where the caucus and the Youth Recreation and MAMA, three organizations, come together. We'll pick the place. We'll get the people to help, you know, like cook the food. And if we're going to have face painting for the kids, you're doing something for the kids. Like Memorial Day is something that we always done. But because of our 100th year, we got so many things going on. But we need to do something for the caucus, and we can't wait at the last minute. And I know one thing. Food will bring people, and music will keep them, and then you can talk to them.
Absolutely.
So you think over that.
We would love to be a part of that, Mr. Calloway. That's exactly the kind of thing that we want to do. And I would also ask you, Mr. Calloway, is that in this community, petty divisions, it's time out for that.
Yeah, that is true.
The caucus is trying to bring together every black person in this community. So we're starting with the pastors, which is a good place. And I want the Haitian pastors. I want the Jamaican pastors. I want the African-American pastors. I don't care if you're Pentecostal. I don't care if you're full gospel. We want all of them to get on the same page because we are all, as black people, facing the same oppression.
I agree.
And so that's what we are trying to do.
Well, let me my final remark. And then, first of all, I want to tell the listeners it is a pleasure to have you as our guest. You know, when Ann McNeil thought of this program, I Am Riviera, and she chose me to be one of her co-hosts and help because she was a cheerleader at 89 years of age right there at Goodmont Park, my first job back in 64, 65, and 66, before I drew the plans for the Wells and the Tate, which is now the Dan Calloway Complex. That because we needed to have something for the kids and the adults. We had programs for everyone. But I think right now we need to turn this mule around because he's off course. We are losing what we had. And only way I think is to go out here and rally everybody and tell them the unbiased truth. You got to get here and help. And they don't have to say anything. They just have to do some things. See, we don't need everybody. Oh, we need somebody. You need to be there in the telling business. Tell us what to do, and we'll go and do it. See, but now I will tell you this. There's nothing I will not set up in Riviera, West Palm, that I won't go out to Belgrade, South Bay, and Polk. Because they're still my friends. I have to look after them. Because they don't have the leadership and the wherewithal that we have over here, so we're not going to let anybody be left behind. So are you giving me, I'll be with Derek McCray and Artie in about 8 days, and we'll have a big meeting, and then what I'll do is start throwing some things around and put it on paper, and then I'll get it to you.
Absolutely.
So you can go, and then I like that. I'm telling you about all these different people with the Haitians, the Puerto Ricans. I don't care who they are, and let's get on everybody together because we need to be. Sometimes we need to teach people why you need to go and vote. See, a lot of people don't think need to vote because they don't think nobody's going to do anything. So we need to tell them. And Mr. McDonald taught me this in 1954. In sociology, when I was in the 10th grade, if you don't vote, you do vote. You're voting for the person who you wouldn't have voted for. The only way you're going to get something done is go and vote. And we got to go back and teach that, and especially these young people, get them registered. So what is right now, you give your final remark to the listening audience because the end of our program is coming right to the end.
Mr. Calloway, I just wanted to say thank you for having us. Anytime you need me, you know I'm always there. You were there when I was 6 years old, and my mother brought me out there to Tate, and we have been family since. So, the Black Caucus is here for Palm Beach County, and I'm always there for you. So you just give me a call, and we'll put it together.
And would you tell the listeners it's a possibility that you would be back here when we can arrange that and on our next stage? Because I think that the public knowing that I'm going to get a lot of phone calls, and they want to know things, some of the great things that you said today, they need to know that. And then with the Black Caucus, we're talking about the second largest county in the whole United States and the second wealth county. So we got to do better because now we know better. And I'm very pleased to have you here today. God bless you and enjoy. And
thank
tell
you
my classmate, your mother, I said hello. When?
I'll do that. You have a blessed day.
Thank you. All right.
Bye-bye.
Mr. Calloway, already gone. Jason. Oh.